Jacob's name is changed here, going to be called now governed by God. And that's what every one of us want this evening. And we may kick, we may wrestle, we may scream, but somehow when we look into his face and we say, Lord, I want to be governed by you. You know, if you teach on the first night, like David Rosales, then you're done and you enjoy the conference. You teach 3 days in, you've listened to everybody whittle away at your message, and you've got a little bit, about 5 minutes left here. But if you would, you could open to Genesis chapter 32, and then I'm going to get there, and we'll pray, but I'm going to share a few things first. When Bill was sharing with us, he talked about a template. He talked about the surfboard working, not changing the schematic, not changing, and then kind of brought it around to the distinctives. So on the CCA website, we have distinctives 2.0. Two of the young pastors at church, my son Mike and Brian, got together, worked through the distinctives. They did the introduction, the preface, every chapter, and basically said, we're the new generation. We didn't know Chuck, we didn't hang around with Chuck, but this is biblically why the distinctives is important, and it's why we believe what we believe. Great for young pastors and young people to listen to. So that's there on the website. We're putting up a series called Hold Fast, and it's pastors from all over. I think there's 14 of them up now. They'll come up a week at a time. Hold Fast to Marriage, Hold Fast to Purity, Hold Fast to the Word of God, Hold Fast to the Holy Spirit, Hold Fast to your eschatology, you know, just, and it's guys from all over the world. We just got them at the conference and had them sit down and go through that. And there's another series on there called Lampstands. And my son Mike interviewed a bunch of pastors and had them basically give their testimony from the time the church started, everything they went through, how it grew. And I think those could be a great encouragement to some of you guys. So those things will be on the CCA. They're up on the CCA website. I encourage you to take advantage of those things. It's been fun here listening to Bill and Don and our age. We've known each other a long time. Probably within a few years, we won't know each other anymore. But we'll still be around each other. My kids make fun of me for forgetting things. Sometimes we, on our flight out of here, you know, I can only read a book. I can't tie my shoes. I can't work my iPhone. I can't do anything. So they put the ticket for the plane on the phone now, my boarding pass. But somehow theirs got on there too. So I show the lady, she beeps me through. I'm going to get on the plane. And here I beep through Joanna, my daughter's boarding pass. And they just let me through. You know, these days they probably felt funny saying anything then, you know. So then I hear them laughing. They're saying, no, he's got mine. I got to hear it says, you know. They goes, so I said, the connecting flight, I promise I won't do that. You can trust me. So we get on the next plane, and I hear my son Mike saying, no, I'm Mike. He's Joe. He used the wrong one again. So, you know, they're making fun of me again, my memory. So I felt great with Don last night, listening to him, you know, because he started, in fact, we've known each other, you have a picture, we were buddies, I think I was 29 or, can you put that up? Anyhow, there we are at 29, you know, I don't even know, I was 29, he was 60, I forget where we were. So here we are 45 years later, here we are sitting in a hospital together. We're waiting for Don to get his memory meds. So I just encourage you, make friends. You know, you're here at this conference. You may be coming to a conference 40 years from now, pastor's conference, and that will be very significant because it will mean you missed the rapture. But I go to say, you know, Don, you know, he got up and preached a great, started repentance, how important it was. And he forgot where he started. He ended up in Hallmark movies somehow. And then said he was from Crankyville. which doesn't go with repentance. I you know, where's he going with this? And then he turns it into a Scotsman's Dream Hallmark movie, to where I leave the farm, I leave the festival, the autumn festival, I leave the small town, I move to New York, you know, I got stock options, I got all this. He's a Scotsman now in Hallmark movies. So he struggles with his memory a little. So when he says at the board meeting, we pushed everything on Joe, no, what Joe said is I would help Don for another year. That's what really happened. But he had most of the parts of that, so I appreciate that. And then Bill was an encouragement, too, because he got up, you know, and he said, you know, I got to the airport, I realized I forgot my ID, I forgot my wallet, I forgot, you know, just, and somebody had to run it over. And finally, they got the stuff there, and then we came here and we landed. And when I got here, I realized I left my notes at home, so then I had to get somebody to send my notes. But then I realized after I got my notes, I forgot my glasses. So luckily I have my reading glasses, but I can't see any of you. And then he said, let's take a trip down memory lane. I thought that sounds like a scary trip right now, but maybe if we go with him, we can help him find his ID and his notes and his glasses. And so, we're all getting there, so they're going to be laughing at me like my kids laugh at me. But so, besides that, can we pray in Genesis 32? Thank you for putting up with a little insanity. This family's been so wonderful, and my brothers and sisters and people that I've served with for over 40 years, if you can imagine, remarkable. So it's a treasure to be here with you guys. Let's pray. Lord, we settle our hearts. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for Don and Raul and Mike McIntosh, Lord, all of these guys, Bill, and so many of us have known each other for so long, Lord. And familiar faces here and people encouraging and the young guys and their wives that are here, Lord, serving in the mission field, just the conversations, the fellowship has been wonderful. And Lord, we've sent your spirit in the worship, Lord. We thank you for the times, Lord, just listening to your word, listening to exhortation, and thinking that that's for me. Lord, would you do that? I have thought that sitting here, Lord. And this evening, Lord, as we look into your word, would you give to each of us again, Lord, this is your word. Lord, you put this chapter to the page, the hand of Moses, and have preserved, Lord, these things for over 3,000 years, Lord, so that we could have them here tonight. We understand that. So, Lord, we look into your word, Lord Jesus. We love you, and we want your heart. Give each of us our portion this evening. We trust you to do that, Lord. We trust you to do it. And we believe we're praying according to your will, Lord. We pray in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 32 will begin at verse 24, where it says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou askest after my name? And important, what we want to look at, he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And Moses, 400 years later, would write, therefore, the children of Israel, eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank, which was not part of the law, God's law, but it was tradition 400 years after that. So I come to this portion of scripture in like so many places, I look and think, Lord, why did you put this here? What is it, you know, you want us, no doubt, to see something. This night could have come and gone and been in obscurity. Nobody would have known about it. And yet you recorded this incident. You put it in front of us. And it ends up to be one of the great nights of the Bible, undoubtedly, as we look at this. And I think, what is it, Lord, that you want me, and each one of us should think that, what do you want me to see here, Lord? What would you say to me out of this? Because it begins by saying, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled there a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And I think what a plague loneliness is in our culture today. Hopefully, as members of the body of Christ, it doesn't hit us as hard in some ways. I have a friend who is on the president's cabinet in the medical part of it. And he just said one of the greatest expenditures in the country is meds for loneliness, fear, and depression. The amount of money that's being spent on that, it's become such a plague. Now, both Sandy and Dave said, you know, you should make sure you're not alone in ministry. So I agree with that. I have a great team I work with. I'm accountable to them, you know, all the ways that we've been speaking about. But there is another place, and it's a sanctified loneliness. And to the unsaved world, they look to meds. What am I getting? I can't handle this. But the scripture tells us, for you and I, that place of aloneness, excuse me, or loneliness, is something that the Lord does. It's something that he brings about, because there are certain things that are only settled there. In some ways, pastoring Calvary Philly is the loneliest thing I've ever done. I'm around people, I'm around men I'm accountable to, but you stand in a place, my wife can't enter into the place I stand in, my assistant pastors can't, my kids can't. There is a place where I stand, so does the pastor's wife, so does the pastor's kids, so do the assistant pastors, so do the other people involved in ministry. There is a place where you stand alone. And God writes that for us. He records it here. This was a significant night for this man alone. And God, I know, once knew we'd be here thousands of years later looking at the passage, and wants it to be a significant night for us alone. So we can look at the passage. Our spouse is not here with us. Our friends are not here with us. We're here alone. And God would speak to us. And as he's there alone, it says that there wrestled a man with him. Very interesting. Jacob didn't wrestle with the man. The man initiated and began to wrestle with Jacob. You have to understand, in the physical, Jacob has sent his kids, his four wives, his beloved Rachel, everybody sent them across Jabbok. Jabbok means emptying, by the way. He sent them across. Jacob, you know, maybe Esau will not get to me if he kills all them first. I don't know what he was thinking. He sends them all over with his flocks, with his servants, with everybody. He's got no protection. He's got nobody with him. He's not lit a campfire because he didn't want Esau to see where he is. He's alone. It's dark. It's quiet. And all of a sudden, somebody's got a hold of him. And I'm sure probably immediately he grabbed for his arm to see if it was Harry. But the Lord initiates. He has Jacob where he wants him. And as we go through the passage, you realize this is actually more about the Lord than it was about Jacob, this kind of unseen participant. And he is accomplishing something. Jacob, on the other hand, he does what you and I might do immediately. He resists. He wrestles. And how many times in your life, in my life, does the Lord get to our hearts alone? Look, you can sit in a room full of people like this and feel very lonely, very isolated. And sometimes as a pastor's wife, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what we're struggling with in our marriage. Nobody knows what's going on with our kids. Nobody, what's the other women in the church. Or as a pastor, nobody understands what I'm feeling. The other pastors in the area are down my throat, you know. And you're kind of, I can't go out and punch somebody. I just got to be alone with this, you know. And it's eating me up. And we don't realize what's happening is the Lord is getting us to that place to be alone with that. Because when we're alone in it with him, that is the ultimate place, the ultimate contradiction to what unsaved people think loneliness is. There's a divine side to that aloneness. And there are certain things the Lord's only going to accomplish in our lives when he has us alone. It can be sitting here, it can be in the park, it can be somewhere else, but he's going to speak to us in that context. Now again, Jacob resists. And it says he wrestles with him. It says it twice, two verses down, it says it again. Very interesting thing. That's the only two times in the Bible that word wrestle is used. And it's from the Hebrew root. It just means dust. And God knows what he was wrestling with. He remembers our frame. And he knows that we are dust. But it means to get down, to get dirty, to grapple. And the interesting thing is here's Jacob resisting to the breaking of the day. Now, is this 6 or 7 hours? Any of you guys that do grappling, any of you guys that ever boxed, you know what a 3-minute round is like? People have no idea until you're in there and have to go through that. Or 5 minutes of grappling. Here, this guy's 97 years old. So everybody here tonight fits in the package. I didn't see anybody here over 97. So he's 97 years old. Now, he's fit, no doubt, because he wrestles with God here 6, 7 hours. Try to imagine if you've ever wrestled what that would be like. And he's doing it to the breaking of the day. Remarkable as we look at the passage and what's taking place. And it says then, and when he saw, now this is the Lord, that's a capital H, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he, the Lord, touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. It was dislocated as he wrestled with him. So remarkable picture here. Look, God Almighty accommodates himself. The omnipotent, all-powerful God accommodates himself to this human. Tells us in Deuteronomy 5, and you can read many other places there, that the Lord delivered the children of Israel with a mighty and outstretched hand. Tells us in Joshua chapter 4, it says, Joshua says, now the Lord, you know, he wants you to understand that he's the one who parted the Jordan River as he had parted the Red Sea, and he did this with a mighty hand. And he wants you to understand that. That's the Lord. Isaiah 12 tells us that he holds the oceans in the palms of his hand and that he spread out the heavens with a span, the billions of light years between his thumb and his index finger. How much distance there is between his crown and his feet, I have no idea. It tells us in Psalm 8, you know, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That set your glory above the heavens, and yet out of the mouths of babes and sucklings you've perfected praise, that you might still the enemy. When I consider the sun and the moon and the stars, the work of thy fingers, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And here, he could have done this to Jacob. But he has condescended. He has, you know, divinely accommodated himself to this little man, and many of us little men and women here today. And it says, as he saw that he was not prevailing, Jacob in his stubbornness, it says he touched. He didn't smite it. It wasn't a blow. He touched. The hollow is thigh, and he dislocated it. And God will dislocate whatever sinew in our spiritual life is keeping us from his blessing. He will put his finger on gently the all-powerful one and accommodate himself to our frailty. When he is wrestling with us, we are resisting. He will do that for a while. And then in his wisdom, in his time, he reserves the right just to touch that thing. And all of a sudden, it's dislocated. Hopefully, it's something that was bad for us. It was something we trusted in of our own strength. It was something that needed to be out of our life. It was something that needed to stop functioning. And Jacob still doesn't realize who he's wrestling with. And it says there that the Lord then touched him. I appreciate that so much. I appreciate the fact that when the Lord wants to wrestle with me, he wrestles with me alone. He doesn't put my sins on the PowerPoint so everybody can watch them and see them. He has no desire to humiliate me at all. When his son was on the cross, he laid on him the iniquity of us all of my iniquity. And when he comes to me now, he's adjusting me. He's conforming me into his image. And he will wrestle in that solitary, alone place. No desire to humiliate me. Aren't you glad? And everybody in this room knows about things in your own heart. There are things in my life that are not yet Christ-like. There are things in my heart tonight that are not like Jesus. And he is patient. He wrestles till morning. And he'll touch those things and dislocate them. I may not be happy about that. But all of a sudden, I'll find out this ain't happening. This is not working. And in the next verse, they begin to talk. There had been no speaking up until this point. It says in verse 26 then, he said, this is the Lord, he said, let me go. For the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, I look at that and I think, what was the tone of his voice like when he did that? You know, I don't believe it was, that's enough. Let me go. You make me sick. You never say uncle. You never tap out. I don't think he did that. Because he was coming. He initiated the wrestling. He knew that if he could get those things out of the way in Jacob's life, that loneliness relative to being in fellowship with him far outweighed everything else. Look, you know, we're hearing very practical things here. I'm thankful for that. How? Why? When? Where? But somehow, in some ways, all of those questions are answered in who? In who? And somehow when he takes us through these things and all of a sudden he's real enough in our lives. And look, it says in the ages to come, we're still going to be learning of his mercy and his grace. So we want to take everything that he'll give to us now. And I think his voice was, let me go. Let me go. The day is breaking. It was getting light. He names the place Peniel because he said he saw God face to face and he lived. What was it like here? What was the tone of his voice like when he spoke to Jacob? Jacob was alone. Only Jacob knows that. What was it like as he began to see the face of the one he was wrestling with? The day breaketh. And he said, Jacob, because he realizes now he defeated me with a touch, with a touch. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He knows. It's gone now from wrestling to clinging, from wrestling to just holding on for dear life. It's Hosea that tells us that it was in weeping and tears that Jacob prevailed. The way that it's written out, it says, it says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power. Now that is, he strove with in the Hebrew. Jacinius says he contended with, he had power with God. Yea, he contended with God. He had power over the angel. We know that that is the angel of his presence, the Lord, it tells us there. And it says he prevailed, he wept and made supplication. Colin Dulich says, weeping and begging during the wrestling, he prevailed. And God, you know, let me imagine if it was my child. And God loves us more than I love my kids. And the Lord looking down, and Jacob now is holding on. He's just holding on. Weeping. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I don't know about you guys. There have been times, and times recently, I have been alone, on my knees, weeping, and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do it. It's not in me. I can't do it. Lord Jesus, I can't do it. I need you. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. And the Lord will then speak again in the next verse and says to him, what is your name? And I, you know, again, what was the tone of the voice when he said that? What is your name? What is your name? And he said, Jacob. Now, he's not asking his name because he doesn't know. What's your name again? That's not what's happening. He's asking his name for Jacob's sake, not for his sake. What is your name? The last time somebody said to him, back in chapter 27, verses 18 and 19, someone said, who are you? He said to his blind father, I am Esau. He lied. Now he's hearing it. What is your name? Heel catcher. And I believe as he says that, by the way, my own conviction is, he said, I'm not going to let go of you, that he had the Lord by the heel. And the Lord's, I'm departing. It was getting light. He was seeing the Lord face to face. And the Lord looked down. What was that like? You know, when you, to me, face to face with him, every other problem is minimized. Because what comes into focus is who you are. When you're in that much light, God's never saying to you, what about that pastor down the road? You know, what about this guy? What about your wife? What about your husband? When you're in that much light, face to face with him, it's what is your name? What is your name? I remember years ago talking to Chuck. We had been away praying with the pastors, and at a certain point, the presence of the Lord entered the room. Now, we all experienced that differently, but it lasted about 45 minutes, dead silence, tears running down everybody's face. And all I remember is, all I could feel is, I am such a sinful man. In the presence of the Lord, we hear about the kabod. It was so heavy, I could hardly breathe. But what was suffocating me was a measure of love and grace that I could not comprehend. And when I got home, I called Chuck. I said, Chuck, this happened. I just, you know, all I could think when it happened is, I am such a sinful man. He said, of course. You know, Daniel said, all my comeliness turned to ashes. You know, Isaiah said, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, woe is me. John the Apostle in the Isle of Patmos fell down at his feet like a dead man. He had leaned on his breast when he saw him in his glory. And there's something in the chemistry here when he says, what is your name? He's saying it for Jacob's benefit. And Jacob says, my name, heel catcher, conniver, deceiver. I've been wrestling for years. Ask Esau. Ask my blind father. Ask Laban. Ask my wives and kids. My name is Jacob. That's who I am. I can't wrestle anymore. I can only hang on. I can't lie. I'm at the end here. And graciously then, he said, I want a blessing. And it's going to say, God blessed him there. God says this. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, to me, that verse is extremely important because, you know, Jacob hasn't prevailed. He's tapping out here. He's just got whooped. Jacob's not prevailing. And there, you know, the King James saying here, you're like a prince. For as a prince, you have prevailed. The word prince is not in the Hebrew. If you get a Hebrew text, you read it, the transliteration, not even there. And people try to say, well, that's Israel means prince of God and all of these things. First time the word Israel is used in the Bible there. It's used 2,500 times. And you can study on your own and see what they say here is that this is a noun with a verb attached to it. Isra, Jacinius says, means it can mean line up or put in order in the sense of governing. Isra El. That whenever a name is combined with, whenever a word, a verb is combined with the name of God, whether it's El or Yah, then God, the noun part of it, the nominative, always becomes the doer of the verb. And you find over 40 of those in the Old Testament without modern scholarship trying to help them. So, Hayel, the Lord liveth. Gabriel, the angel, the Lord strengthens. Samuel, the Lord hears. You just go through those names in the Old Testament, and it's very obvious. In fact, it's the New Testament, Gabriel there, and we were talking about this earlier, Jim mentioned it, that Gabriel said, you'll call his name Yeshua, Yah, Shua, the salvation part, and then he gives us heaven's interpretation, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the Yah is the Lord, has become our salvation. He does the verb part of it. And then once again, he says, as the prophets said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. So there we have heaven's, you know, breakdown of the way the name of God is combined with a verb. So when we come back here to Genesis, Yisrael, the idea is ordered of God. I personally like governed by God. And Jacob's name is changed here. You'll no longer be called Jacob. You're going to be called now governed by God. And that's what every one of us want this evening. And we may kick, we may wrestle, we may scream, but somehow when we look into his face, somehow when we realize just with his touch, he's kind of lovingly breaking us down, then we say, Lord, I want to be governed by you, Lord. I want to be blessed by you with a new name. And wonderfully then it says there, you know, he says then to the Lord, what's your name? He says, how is it you're asking after my name? Look what it says in verse 29 there. It says, and he blessed him there. That's central to us. He blessed him there because we've come to this conference. I came expecting. I love to come here and worship. I love to see everyone. I love to hear from the men that are teaching the word, to hear from the Lord. And I love being able to say, Lord, I need your blessing. And it tells us here, the Lord blessed him there. The Lord drew him to himself. The Lord wanted him to see his problem wasn't, you know, Isaac, it wasn't Esau, it wasn't Laban, it was, you know, that he was wrestling with him. That's where the crux of the matter was all along. And he blessed them there. Where? Okay, for all of us, the place of blessing is the place of crippling. It's the place of crippling, gently, incredibly tender, God Almighty, able to touch something in our life and dislocate anything that would keep us from his blessing, from his guidance. He initiates, he does it, and I'm thankful. I may kick and scream a bit, but I am thankful that he's faithful to do that. The place of blessing we just saw, it's the place of clinging and just holding on. Sometimes, how often, recently in my life, you know, I can think, Lord, recently I said, Lord, I'm just, I feel like I'm holding on by my fingernails here. I am just holding on. Help me, Lord. And this is, look, it's not like there's sin in my life, I'm disqualifying myself for ministry. This is just so tired of Joe Foch. Lord. And I feel like I'm just clinging, but the place of blessing is a place of crippling and a place of clinging. He's crippled. He's taken my own strength and making me realize my only strength is holding on to him. When I close my eyes and take my last breath, I want to be clinging on to him when that happens. The place of blessing is a place of confession. What's your name? And look, you all got your own name. Well, God asked me, whatever you think, Joe Foch, you know, Calvary Chapel. But when I'm alone with him, and he says, what's your name? And I say, Joe Foch, that is a confession. I am the problem. You know me, Lord. This is my name. You know my selfishness. You know the things in my life that I'm holding on to. And again, earlier Jim mentioned we might be clinging to bitterness. We might be clinging to unforgiveness, clinging to doubt. Sometimes, Lord, why have you loved me? Why am I sick? Or why do I have a prodigal? We can be clinging to things that we need to let go of, because they interfere with the flow. And this is personal. This is between you and him, not between you and him and your spouse. This is something he has you alone. What's your name? It's a place of confession and repentance. We talked about that earlier. The church is filled with this woke theology that wants to accommodate itself to everybody's feelings. And all that really does is affirm people in their sin. And it is destructive. And Almighty God brings us into the light and into his presence because that place demands confession and repentance, to come into the light like that. That place that in my weakness, his strength is made perfect there. He brings us there. And finally, it's the place of consecration, right? He changes my name. Your name is no longer Joe Foch. It's governed by God. And that's what needs to happen. We spend a lot of time worrying about what he's doing in other people's lives. We spend a lot of time suggesting to him what he needs to do in other people's lives. We sometimes might even suggest who we think should be on the planet and who would be better off if they weren't on the planet. But the question is, are we governed by God? That's the place of consecration. There's crippling and there's clinging. There's confession. And then there's consecration. Is my name governed by God? And you might say, you know, I kind of wish that I could be there, that there was a time and a place for me in all of this. And there is. The time is now. And the place is here. That's how he works. He wants us to see him in this. We're watching Jacob, but he wants us to see him in this, reaching down, accommodating his almighty power to the weakness of a human being. And listen, Jacob's a conniver. He's a liar. He's got four wives. He's got all kinds of insanity going. It's not like he's a great human being, and God's not stepping back from that at all. He's going to be the father of the 12 tribes. God is working in his life as he wants to work in our lives. We haven't scared him away. He was slain from the foundation of the world. So I'm going to do this if it's okay with you guys, and I'm going to do it if it's not okay with you guys. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for myself, but I would encourage you to kind of just be alone now, please. Just be alone, please. That was the place of blessing. And let me pray for myself and pray for you as well. And then what I'd like to see happen is when the musicians come, if you really at this conference can say, I don't want to leave here in the Jacob life. I want to leave here in the Israel life. I don't want to leave here unchanged. I want to leave governed by God. I want to be clinging onto Him because I realized it's Him working in my life. It's You, Lord. I'm not letting go tonight until You bless me. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me pray. We'll pray through this. And then if you feel led and you just want to say, all right, Lord, I don't want to leave here Jacob. I'm going to leave here Israel, governed by God. I'm going to ask you just to come up. No pastor, no board members, nobody's going to come. You just come by yourself. You're alone. Just you and Him. And just take a moment and say, all right, Lord, Uncle, I'm tapping out. I want to be governed by You. I'm tired of the loneliness. I'm tired of the wrestling. I'm tired of worrying about everybody else. I'm tired of the bitterness. I'm tired of the secret sin. I'm tired of the things that just should never be going on in my life, my heart, my mind as a pastor. I want to be governed by You, Lord. This night, You have me here alone. I am Yours. And I'd encourage you, if you want that to be in your life, however that happens between you and Jesus, that you would just come quietly, pray, leave Jacob here and walk away with Israel, governed by God. But let's stand together and then let me pray. Lord, we put these things before You, Lord. The place of blessing, Lord. And Lord, we need some crippling. I need, Lord, some crippling in my life, Lord. I am so stubborn sometimes and so proud, Lord. I need to be a better husband and a better father and a better grandpa. I need to be a better pastor. I need to be a better Christian man, Lord. I need You to dislocate some things that just shouldn't be functioning in my life, Lord. You hear all of us asking that, Lord. And we know that You tell us is the place of blessing. Lord, we want to cling to the right thing. We cling to so many foolish things, Lord, that don't produce anything, that don't lift any burden off our heart and our mind, that don't make us closer to You. Lord, let us find us ourselves this evening, Lord, each of us. You know us, Lord, we're alone with You. We're clinging to You, Lord Jesus, our sweet Savior. We're clinging to You, Lord. We don't want to leave here tonight without Your blessing. You didn't put this in front of us, Lord, to frustrate us, but to reveal Yourself and to draw us. And Lord, we confess. We know the place of blessing is a place of confession and repentance. You hear each of us, Lord. You hear me, Lord. You hear me, Lord. I know You hear me. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, there are so many things in my life that are not like you yet, Lord. And I know it all flows from you. There are no tools in my box for these things, but Lord, you're drawing me, you're drawing us deliberately, Lord, to change our name, to consecrate us, to make us see you face to face, to be overwhelmed with your glory and your love and your healing, your forgiveness, your kindness, your joy. That we would leave, Lord, governed willingly, Lord, by you, Lord. Forgive us for all the things we've held on to, the things we brought here, the things that, Lord, haven't been dragged into the light that you're dragging into the light tonight, Lord. We let go of them, Lord. And we cling to you. We ask your blessing. And we ask, Lord, that as we pray individually, Lord, you would hear our hearts, that we this evening would leave here, Lord, no longer in the Jacob life, conniving, manipulating, trying to do everything in our own strength and our own ability, but we would limp, Lord, wonderfully, Lord, from this place. With a new name, governed by God. Lord, we leave that with you and we ask you to do that work. In your name and for your glory, Lord. Amen. I encourage you, as the Holy Spirit leads you, if you feel led, just to come quietly for a minute, just you and him. There's nobody else here. You're alone, what the text says. And just say, Lord, I want to leave the Jacob life here. And I want to leave governed by you.